But climate change in the Bible, as the world burns, as I said, unless you've been living under a rock, then you have been made aware of the much ballyhooed topic, a lot of interest in climate change, global warming. You might think it's a political thing, but it goes far beyond that. As a matter of fact, almost every major religion in the world is addressing the subject of climate change. It is a global interest in the world. And since it's being addressed all around the world by all of the religions of the world, we need to know what our response should be and what our responsibility should be to climate change and how it relates to the Bible. First, let me say, any casual reader of the Bible understands that we do have an obligation to protect our environment. God put man in the garden and said to man that he is to be a good steward. He's to have dominion over the earth. He's to dominate the earth, and he's to facilitate the earth. He's to take care of it, make it fruitful, multiply it with people and plants and all that God gave in the creation. There's no question about that. I don't think that's up for any kind of debate at all. So we understand that. In our man cave Sunday night, AJ did a wonderful job, challenged us on a lot of different levels, and certainly he made that very, very clear that that is a responsibility, and I certainly agree. So that's the first thing, understanding that nobody is arguing the validity of our responsibility to our environment. The religious world, very interested, as I said. What I want to do is just show you the different things, the different religions around the world that have taken great interest in this subject and have put statements out regarding it. And let's have those screens now, Todd, if you would. Let's get that going. Baha'i, that is an Iranian, has its origin in Iran. It's basically a effort to try to bring people, all humanity, into a kind of a universal brotherhood. But they have put out articles saying, seizing the opportunity, redefining the challenge of climate change. And they have much to say about it. And we'll just let them go. The Buddhist, they're involved in the discussion. Say, the time is to act now. That's the Buddhist Declaration on Climate Change. The Christian, we don't call it a religion, of course, but for clarity, we know it's a relationship. But many different factions under the heading Christian. The Joint Statement of Environment by Pope Francis and the Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew, September 1st, 2017. And there's a long article written about our concern or their concern for climate change. Also under the Christian heading, you have 17 Anglican bishops across six continents issuing an urgent call for climate justice. The Anglican Church of Canada, the Episcopal Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada, a pastoral message on climate change. They've issued that, put it in print. The Southern Baptists have a large document on the subject. If you go on the website, their website, the Southern Baptist Declaration on the Environment and Climate Change, and they have a, it's a quite lengthy discussion on the subject, understanding that the topic has great interest and a lot to say about it. We continue. Catholics, of course, U.S. Catholic Bishop's Statement on Climate Change. All of these are the titles of the articles. Obviously, we're not putting all that on there. The Church of the Brethren, they put out statements on the global climate change. Eastern Orthodox, statement on the environment. You can look at all of these things are available to you. Episcopal Church, sustaining hope in the face of climate change, their article. And it contains Evangelical Climate Initiative. There's a call to action concerning climate change. Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, caring for creation, vision, hope, and justice. The Mennonites, Creation Care Network. Presbyterian Church, USA, U.S. Energy Policy and Global Warming. The Quaker, Earth Care Mission Program, United Church of Christ, a resolution on climate change. These are all articles, statements, some of them very lengthy, on their position and concern over climate change. United Methodist Church, article on church statement on climate change. The Hindus are involved, Hindu Declaration on Climate Change. Interfaith Declaration on Climate Change. Jewish, the Yale Forum on Religion and Ecology, Judaism and Climate Change. The Muslim Islamic Declaration on Global Climate Change. You can't find a religion in the world that's not addressing the topic with great concern. So for us to just blow it off like there's nothing to it is probably not doing our diligence. Well, I'm a pastor, and I look at things like this. I listen to a lot of different opinions, and I read, like most of you do. But as I said, Sunday morning, I try to take my confusions and my problems to the Bible. I want to know what the Bible says about it. Because after all, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. So before I give you a couple of verses that I think really put it in a nutshell on climate change, let's talk about what is it. First of all, it's not the weather. There was a lot of snow a few weeks ago, and everybody says, so much for the global warming. Climate change and your daily weather is not one and the same thing. You know, and matter of fact, a lot of people believe because we believe the Bible is the Word of God, they think we reject science. Nothing's further from the truth. The Bible is not a book about science, but when the Bible speaks regarding science, it does with perfect accuracy like it does everything else. And so science is a great servant to us. We've learned a lot. Every morning you'll get up and you'll look at the weather, and it'll give you a very accurate description of what the weather's going to be. And that's science. They can show you hourly forecast. You ever do that? I do it every Sunday. I want to see what's going to happen at 10:30 on Sunday. I want to know what's going on then. There's an app now that says minute-by-minute weather. I'm not that concerned with it, okay? I don't need to know every minute what's going to happen. I can wait for the next hour to come rolling around. But that's science, you know, and the weather deals with whether it's going to rain or snow or barometric pressure and all those things that most of us know very little about. I certainly don't know much about it. But they look at it. But now, they're not always right, are they? As a matter of fact, about a week ago, I was pitching a fit. Snow day. Me and Ryder had to hang out all day long. Beautiful day. So they're not always right. But certainly, let's face it, they're often pretty accurate in turn. I was checking that today. I was in my truck and I looked at the thing, you know, my weather app, and it said, I think it was 50, should be 51 at this time of day. And according to the little thing on my truck, it was 50. So I don't know which one was right, but that's close enough for me. But it's remarkable, isn't it, how they can do that. And so it's not the weather they're talking about, not your daily weather. They're talking climate. Is different, as I understand it. It is measuring or the temperature of the Earth's atmosphere over lengthy period of time, even years. Some suggest to get the real accurate reading, you need to have about a 30-year measurement of the weather. But what they're telling us is in the last 5 years, particularly the last 5 years, the Earth's atmosphere is becoming increasingly warmer. Almost dangerously warmer is what they say, okay? And, of course, the atmosphere of the Earth, and then, our atmosphere is our interstellar space. You have about five layers of it. You got the atmosphere and the stratosphere and all of that. And the stratosphere has that ozone layer around it. And the ozone layer is there to pretty much catch the ultraviolet radiation from the sun and protect our planet from the toxic radiation of the sun. And so without that ozone layer, then those toxic gases or radiation are able to penetrate the stratosphere and the atmosphere, and they can do a lot of damage to our Earth and a lot of damage to you and I. And so those things are happening. So what they're discovering is that there are holes in the ozone layer, and these holes are getting bigger. And so the temperature of the atmosphere of the Earth is rising. It's getting, it's getting hotter. It's getting warmer. And what's happening is, they say there is a greenhouse effect. You've heard that term, greenhouse gases, that is affecting the atmosphere of the Earth. And once it starts warming, it doesn't get cooler. It has no way to cool off. So if it just keeps getting warmer and warmer and warmer, obviously you could see the danger in that. Greenhouse gases, they say, they're blaming that pretty much on mankind. They say since the Industrial Revolution, since late 1700s to 1800s, when the agriculture got involved in machinery, and then you had the steamboats and the railroad, and the later on, planes and automobiles and manufacturing plants, and all of the heat that we were creating on the Earth is now being, according to the science, being trapped in the Earth's atmosphere. So we're having these, what they call the greenhouse. When you have a greenhouse, that's designed to keep your plants warm all year round so it'll grow. Okay, the greenhouse effect, according to our scientists, they say that we're creating all of this extra energy and extra heat, and it's being trapped into the Earth's atmosphere. Now you've got ozone layer. The ozone layer is thinning. So you got the radiation, the ultraviolet radiation from the sun. You've got the man-made emission gases and all those things coming from there. And it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter. That's where they see the danger. And they got all sorts of things, not just the industrial part of it. They're blaming some of this, Coach, on the cows. These cows are flatulating, they said. You heard that? I thought about poor old Coach. I've been to his farm. I got all those beautiful cows out there. And if these scientists have it, well, they're coming for your cows, Coach. And so that has to be a concern. Can you believe that? Because they say in the gas of the cow, if you can believe it, there's methane. And that's part of the toxic that they're talking about. So I thought to myself, look, I can handle, maybe going, hybrid cars or whatever. I mean, I could deal with that. I drove a hybrid car and I really liked it. But don't take my Big Mac. And so if they're coming for our cows and our hamburgers, I got a problem with that. So anyway, all sorts of things. But what they're saying is the greenhouse gas is being trapped in the Earth's atmosphere. The Earth is getting hotter and hotter and hotter. The ozone layer is thinning. And as the world as we know it is changing all of the time. And so there's a great deal of concern, as I showed you, around the world. And religious people are not turning a deaf ear to it. They're looking at it, investigating, and showing great concern. And so the National Geographic says this: if we keep burning fossil fuels indefinitely, global warming will eventually melt all the ice at the poles on mountaintops, raising sea level to 216 feet. So the Earth keeps getting hotter. They're telling us that the ice in the ice caps in the Arctic is going to melt, and it's going to just bury the Earth in a great deal of water. Now, we don't believe that can happen. Now, that part of it just can't happen. The reason that can't happen is because this Earth will not be destroyed by water again. If you see a rainbow, every time you see a rainbow, you know that God made a covenant with this Earth that it will not be destroyed by water. But he said it would be destroyed by fire one day. I read where one pastor said that we are just years away from this Earth turning into Venus, just like that, where it just completely sets ablaze and sets on fire, and then boom, there we go. I don't have to tell you who Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, representative from the New York district, or state of New York. She says we only have 12 years. 12 years, she said, before the planet is gone if we don't do something right now. That's how drastic she sees the thing. But what's interesting is she gives us 12 years deadline, but about 150 years worth of work to fix the problem. I mean, think about it. She got so many plans in that deal that, it's unthinkable. It took 13 years to build a Freedom Tower. And in 10 years, we've got to have everybody driving battery cars, and we've got to get rid of all the planes and got to get the gas out of the cows, and we got to do all this stuff in 10, 11 years. And like I said, it took 13 years to build the Freedom Tower. So we're really behind the eight ball if Ms. Cortez is right on this thing. Now, I believe that's ridiculous. One thing I can tell you for sure is that the Earth's going to be here at least 7 more years, because that's how much time the Great Tribulation. The rapture could take place tonight, then you're going to have 7 years of tribulation. Then after that, you've got some other things that are going to take place. But we're not going to turn into Venus tonight. Now we may be heading there. But with all this stuff taking place in the atmosphere, they say, here's the symptoms of climate change. And you're putting this in the layman's mind. Said, because what I just said about the atmosphere is getting warmer, Earth's getting hotter, ice is beginning to melt, this is what's taking place. This is said what will happen as we see the Earth heat up. Notice, there'll be earthquakes. And then continue, just put it all up there. And they call it prehistoric. I don't know what that prehistoric disease is, but lots of diseases and a lot of civil unrest. And you can imagine why there would be civil unrest when you've got various atrocities taking place all over the world. We're having more earthquakes and more tornadoes and more hurricanes and more fires breaking out. And creating a lot of damage that's costing a whole lot of money to try to fix. So earthquakes and prehistoric diseases and civil unrest. These are the things. Now, I didn't get that's what scientists are saying are just some of the symptoms of climate change. Of course, there are many more, but you can relate to that. And so does that remind you of anything? Earthquakes and diseases and civil unrest? Reminds me of something. I read where Jesus said this in Matthew 24. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And Jesus tells us that as we move toward the end of the age, you're going to see some things happen in terms of what the world may call natural atrocities, but you're going to see an escalation of natural atrocities all around the world. Famines, pestilences, earthquakes, and certainly no one would debate the reality of that. Now, some people may debate the source of it. They may want to blame it on the greenhouse gas. And perhaps, maybe that's happening. A thinning ozone layer, perhaps that's what's taking place. But I know who's in charge of all that. I know who is in control of every bit of that. And it's our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, what he said 2,000 years ago was going to happen as we move toward the end of the age, and it's the beginning of sorrows, it's taking place in the world. And everybody in the world is talking about it, but they don't know who's in control of all that. You see what I'm saying? You see how with everybody having all this consternation about what's taking place with the climate and all these signs in the heavens, did not Jesus say that he'd put signs in the heavens and signs on the earth in terms of the last day events? But religions around the world, they're not discussing what you and I would call eschatology, or the prophecies or the doctrines of the last days. We believe what's taking place in terms of climate change or global warming is absolutely on pace to the scriptures. We are moving closer and closer to a collision course with our Creator. One scientist, and you can read a lot of this, and they've got some really pictures on there that would absolutely amaze you. You know the black holes that are out there in the vast universe that they tell us about? They said when this atmosphere, when it continues to get hotter, that the earth could go whirling into those black holes. and be burned up almost immediately. Said the holes are so black that no light, not even a little tiny bit of light, can escape the black hole. And said that with all of the changes in the atmosphere, eventually, and they don't know how long, and now reputable scientists are not talking about 12 years. I've read everything. You know, the Kyoto Declaration. Have you heard about that from Kyoto, Japan? I think about 10 years ago they put it out, warning all the nations. They saw this coming. And they said, 50 years, if we don't do something in 50 years, this is going to happen. That was 10 or 12 years ago. And so the nations of the world began to investigate, and lots of talk since then. My point is this. Whatever is taking place in the climate, whatever's happening, it's all happening under divine permission. It's all happening under the watchful eye of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I think it is a warning. I think it makes a great time for you and I to evangelize better than we ever have before. Because the reason I want to share this with you is because people that are concerned about this, you can talk to them about it and say, did you know Jesus talked about this? He never said anything about climate control necessarily. He didn't use the terminology global warming. But I'll tell you what he did say. He did say that there'd be pestilences or earthquakes. See, I believe that the judgment or the wrath of God comes to us in stages. The ultimate stage of God's wrath is when he just, I mean, everything is gone and he separates the wheat from the goat, the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goats, and it's heaven and hell. That's the ultimate. But if you back off from that, you have eschatological wrath. That's all those things that take place in the book of Revelations. Moving back from that, you have cataclysmic wrath, where you have these different things going on in the world. But the first phase of the wrath of God is when God takes his hand off and begins to let things happen on the earth that seem very strange and seem abnormal. Look at the book of Romans. The Bible said when God turns them over to a reprobate mind, he takes his hand off. He leaves men and women, boys and girls, to the consequences of their own choice. And what happens? They start filling themselves with all manner of unrighteousness and evil. You see, without the restraining grace of God, you and I have the potential to sin on unprecedented levels. But as God takes his hand off the culture, the morality collapses in the world. Everything goes. We have no natural affection. And that's part of it. This is part of it. And so what I'm saying is, I believe we're close. We are moving closer and closer to the coming of our Lord. And we see the wrath of God being slowly unveiled on the world. Now, that comes from my belief about the Bible, what the Bible teaches. Certainly you believe that when the tribulation ends, that is the wrath of God. You believe that, don't you? You believe that, he said that's the beginning of sorrows. And so you certainly you understand that when Jesus comes and the Armageddon battle and you have all of those plagues and bowls of wrath and trumpets and all of those things, you understand that's God's wrath, right? Well, it doesn't start there. It starts prior to that to warn us. Now, how's this for global warming? In the light of everything I said, Simon Peter, I have just a couple more verses, and then I'll be done. 2 Peter chapter 3, 9 through 11. Again, he's relating to the end of time. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. He's long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the wish of God, that all would come to repentance. But he warns us, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? As you see that you are moving closer and closer to the end of the age, Should we, what should be our primary concern? The way we're living our lives. Our ultimate concern should be for people that are lost and don't know Christ. As I said at the very start of the message, I said very clearly, we should take our responsibility to take care of the earth that God's given us, our environment. I'm for all of that. I am honestly for that. Anything that's in reason that can be done, okay? But the mandate for the church is evangelism. I don't have it for you on the screen, but do you know in the book of Hebrews, the Bible said, the earth will wax old like a garment, like a vestment, God will fold it up. It will happen. Call it what you want to call it, but when Jesus gets ready to take over this world, it's going to come with a lot of fire and a lot of heat. But this is not in the hands of man. It's not in the hands of the politicians. It's not in the hand of our president or the Congress. It's not in the hands even of us, even though we want to do the best we can to do the best we can. But the earth belongs to God. Deuteronomy 10:14 says this, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Psalm 24 and verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. This belongs to God. He has loaned it to us. When he gets ready to dispense of it, it'll be gone. It will be like a Mercury or like a Venus or like, and you just move on down the line. Now, the great thing about, you know, a lot of the, what we're hearing a lot in the politics, I don't want to get into that end of it because I let the smart people debate all that, and I'm sure in the end, hopefully the best will happen. But this whole idea of having a utopia, having a world where, you know, everybody's got enough for everything, and I really don't want to get into the details of that, just because I don't have the time, not because I'm afraid to. Perhaps maybe another time we could look at that. But what's interesting is this utopia that we want to start trying to build reminds me a lot of the Tower of Babel, you know, where they said, hey, we're just going to build our way up to God. And they start building this tower and they want to build it all up to God. And God says, look, that's ridiculous. God destroys the thing, confounds the languages, and sets the people on different places around the world. And so when you start trying to build a utopia by man-made inventions, that is, if you believe the Bible, that it doesn't work that way. God's going to call down fire, create fire, baptize this earth with fire, and renovate this earth. And then he's going to restore it and usher in what we call a millennial reign, a kingdom age. Now you that are saved, you're the bride of Christ, and God's going to change your vile body, make it like the glorious body of Jesus Christ. And you're the bride of Christ. You don't have to worry about anything else. But those that are living at the end of the tribulation period that have not taken the mark of the beast, they're at least 144,000 Jews, and then those that have been converted that did not by the word of the prophets and the 144,000 at the end of the tribulation, they'll enter into the what we call the kingdom age, the millennial reign. But that's not a perfect age either. But what God does to the earth is he restores the earth back to its original condition. The Bible said he makes it like the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden before the flood, this ozone layer was much different. Peter actually says in one place it was like a canopy of water that encircled the earth that protected the earth from those harmful rays of the sun. And the whole earth was like a fascinating greenhouse. And for that reason, people lived a long time on this earth. Methuselah himself living 969 years before he died. They call that the antediluvian age, or the age before the flood, the deluge or the great flood. But after the great flood, when these fountains of the great deep break up, this canopy of water, It submerges the earth. It's not there, and you don't have a greenhouse effect anymore, and you have people that are very fortunate to live up into their 80s and 90s and so forth. The whole world has changed. That was the judgment of God on the earth. And the millennial reign, the kingdom age, Jesus is going to come back on this earth. And what's so great about this, you're not going to have a socialist society. You're not going to have a democracy. You're not going to have a republic. What you're going to have is a theocracy. You're going to have Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, taking the government on his shoulder, and he's going to command the rule of this world. He's going to control the resources of this world. And I can tell you then, it's going to be like the Garden of Eden. I got goosebumps big enough to hang a hat on right now just thinking about it. It's wonderful. But he's going to have to do that. No man can do that. And again, I'm not belittling the fact about taking care of the environment. What I'm saying is our president and all the presidents in all the world, they cannot create the environment that we would all love to see. But one day, Jesus will. But what I wanted to tell you about it, but even then, it's not a perfect age. The Bible said that a child would die at 100 years. So here's a person. Remember, it's like the antediluvian age. It's like the time before the flood. And it's not a perfect age. People are going to marry. They're going to have children. They're going to have families. Not the bride of Christ, but these people that have been ushered into the kingdom age at the end of Armageddon. They're going to marry. They're going to have children. They're going to raise those children. The child dies at 100 years. Why would you call a 100-year-old a child? Betty's really looking forward to that age. But why would you call him that? Because the age will last for 1,000 years. But because it's not a perfect age, sin's still involved. That's why at the end of the millennial age, there's that great war, you know, the Battle of Gog and Magog. And that's when it all ends at the end of the 1,000-year reign, the kingdom, at the end of the kingdom age. And then eternity begins for the bride of Christ and for all believers. My point is, only God can get the earth back to where it was before the flood, before the fall. Yes, we need to be good stewards of it. But I tell you what I wish churches would do, Christians would do. First of all, look at our own lives and commit to all manner of godliness. You know, get our own hearts ready. But then tell people about Christ again. When's the last time you witnessed or shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone? If we're already in the early stages of the wrath of God, don't you think we need to be getting the message of the gospel out to the people that are around us? What a great time when people are concerned about climate change and global warming. They're wondering what's going to happen to the earth. We've got politicians telling us that the clock is ticking and the world is it's going to turn into Venus. They're not wrong when they say it's going to be burned up. They're wrong about a lot of things, but they're not wrong there, not according to Peter. We need to get the gospel out. Tell them, hey, did you know that the Bible says that the earth is going to melt with a fervent heat and all these symptoms of this global warming or climate change that are talking about? Did you know that Jesus Christ said in the last days these things would be multiplied throughout the world? You see, so that's our position on it. Yes, take care of the environment, but I believe God's hand is moving this earth closer and closer, not to a big black hole, but closer and closer on the prophetic timetable to God doing what God said he was going to do. And that is the second coming of Christ, the millennial reign, and eventually eternity. So there's a message in climate change and the Bible. And it's a great witnessing tool if we use it correctly. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to say thank you for your word that never leaves us in the dark. It's a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. Help us to hide its words in our hearts so we wouldn't sin against you. Help us, Lord, to understand that though people are divided, not just in our country, but around the world, the civil unrest, the concern, the difference of opinions on what is taking place in the world, help us to understand, Lord, that this earth belongs to you and the fullness of it, all the people in it, and everything on it. You own it, Lord. It's yours. But you have told us that you have other plans for it. In judgment, you're going to renovate it. And then in righteousness, you're going to restore it. And righteousness will cover the earth like waters cover the sea. But Lord, until then, help us to remember that our mandate is to evangelize a lost world that is moving closer and closer to the end of the age. Give us the grace, the boldness, and the compassion and the love to do that to the glory of God. In Christ's name I pray, amen. God bless you. Thank you. See you on Sunday.